My brain is actually mush because I'm trying to figure out motivation. We months ago talked about this book called Mindsets, where you focus on how you acknowledge people. You mm-hmm. don't acknowledge, like, good job. You acknowledge the effort. You remember effort. That?
Yes, I do.
So, okay. So I've been struggling with that because I watch myself with the grandkids all the time. Oh, good job. You're so smart. Oops. That's actually creating a fixed mindset, which is not terrific. So then I was traveling and thinking, I'm traveling a lot. Let me think how to take advantage of this. I think I'll have the grandkids, like, for example, if I'm going to California, let me know what the capital of California is and where is San Diego, where I'm at. And, you know, just have, I do a mm-hmm. little game and then I'll give them some money. And then I started reading this book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And I thought, oh man, I have so much to learn. Because apparently that is really wrong for motivation. So here's the, Daniel Pink wrote this book, Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And here's, he's so funny. At the end, he said, if you don't want to actually read the book, here's the Twitter and here's what you'd say in a cocktail party. So here's his Twitter summary of the book. Carrots and sticks are so last century. Drive, the book, says for the 21st century, we need to upgrade to autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So, basic
autonomy, mastery and purpose. Okay.
So in this book, it's a newly published book. He researches research on motivation. And what he finds is that rewards and punishment, carrot and stick, pretty much only work for routine, repetitive, mechanical, linear, predictable work.
Factory kind of work.
That kind of work. Yeah. You know, you just do this, tighten this screw, as fast as you can. However, it not only doesn't work for anything other than that, it actually can reduce in your own motivation, it can kill creativity, and worse, it can lead to unethical or even short-term thinking. So I'm just share a few examples of the studies that he talks about that just blow my mind, because now I'm thinking, okay, now what do I say to people when I want to be a positive impact? So mm-hmm. we'll get to that. But here's some studies. For example, they watched children and how in a school setting and how they like to spend their spare time. And they found the kids that always would go to drawing as their fun thing to do. Then they took these kids that like to draw and they put them in three groups. One group, they said, you know, if you draw for us, we will give you this award with this big blue ribbon and your name on it. And the second group, they didn't say anything, but they gave them a surprise award at the end of it. And the third group, they didn't even talk about an award. Okay, so they did that. Go back 2 weeks later and watch the kids and what they did in their spare time. The kids that got no award or the kids that got the surprise award went back to drawing as they always did. The kids that got the award connected into drawing did not draw anymore. Now, why? I can't tell you. But that kind of behavior is over and over again. All these studies of children and adults, when you make it an if-then, if you draw, then you get the award, it actually reduces intrinsic, interior motivation. Mm-hmm. So they've done lots of these studies with adults and children, but they did one in India, which I think was kind of interesting. And the reason it's interesting in India, because when they do it in the United States with, college students or adults that, get $5 if they do something, the big award is $20, So they went to India because they said, we can do awards in India that are worth a day's pay, a week's pay, and 5 months of pay. So they took this group, a random group, and I guess they like to divide people into three because they did it, divide them in three. And these, by the way, were economists doing the study from MIT and Carnegie Mellon and University of Chicago. And they divided them into groups, and then they had them do these little games. I mean, you'll recognize some of these, like for baby showers, like recall the items on a tray, or unscramble an anagram, or toss a ball, tennis ball at the target. They had to do these nine different games. And the groups that got the low reward, which was 1 day's pay, or the medium reward, 2 days' pay, there was no significant difference between their performance. There was, however, significant difference for the group that got was promised the equivalent of 5 months' pay. Their performance was worse.
Stress. Anxiety.
Fear.
Yeah. Fear.
Whatever. But what's interesting is that, so then the London School of Economics looked at 51 studies of corporate pay for performance and found that financial incentives can actually result in negative impact on overall performance.
Isn't that interesting?
So that big bonus at the end can actually diminish. And they've done this in the States with much smaller things. Like, you know, you'll get, you. So if then, if you do these games, then you get this reward, can actually diminish. So then, this is interesting because we have so many artists, and you and I are both tied into the arts up here. This Harvard professor wanted to study the effect of contingent rewards, meaning if then. If you do this, then you get this. Teresa Ambile, I think, pardon me if I'm saying that wrong, from Harvard, identified 22 professional artists and asked them to provide samples of commissioned and non-commissioned work. So they had to pick out 10 of each. These are prolific artists. And then unidentified, so it's just random art up there. They had this big panel of experts in art look at all the art. And invariably, they found that they were technically the same, but the creativity and the commission work was significantly less. So, and then they found over time, another study of artists over a longer period of time showed that outside rewards might actually hinder eventual success. So if you get contingent on the if-then, if I do this, then I'll get the reward, it knocked out the internal creativity process or motivation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are artists doomed to be starving artists then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, or create what they're motivated to create and hope that that's what the world will actually pay money for.
Yeah.
Or get a job on the side.
There you know? Go.
Yeah, that's
there
a lot go. Of them do it. Anyway, so the... all this study, again, over and over and over in the book, because it's kind of like, well, okay, so now, just to be clear, you have, if you're talking about an employee, you have to get the base level pay so it's satisfying, not, you know, but to try to motivate with more pay, that's a pretty tricky thing. You can do it if it's not if then. If you do these goals, then you get this. Because again, that can, and I know this from being inside corporate America, that can lead to short-term thinking, unethical, or just trying to make it look like you met the goal. Mm-hmm. As opposed to bonuses or acknowledgement that are randomly given.
Yep.
Now the other, so then he says, okay, so what does work? Autonomy. Which is basically our default setting. You look at kids, that they're self-directed, they're inside-out kind of motivation. I want to, ooh, what's in this box? How do I make this box open, you know? Following what you want to follow, kind of the Joseph Campbell quote that I so love, follow your bliss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just follow what you're interested in. And mastery, it's because you care about it. And then because we're humans, we like to purpose. We like a greater cause, something more enduring than ourselves. So how do we focus on those when we're focusing on our own motivation and when we're focusing on folks around us, like my grandchildren? How do I cultivate their motivation? So you can imagine my brain is mashed potatoes because I'm trying to, so like we take the kids out in a boat and Tom is teaching them how to drive the boat. And I want to say, and I probably did say, good job. Thinking, no. Okay. What do I say? So, I've had some coaching now from friends like, well, so the mindset book would have said, wow, you really put some time into learning how to do the turns, and that's really great that you're putting that effort in to learn. And this book might be, did you enjoy it? Do you want to do it again? You know, tie into what do they care about? Do they find it fun, interesting, that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Like to put more time into it. So I still think I have to create a cheat sheet for myself because this is so radically different.
Yep. So when you get that, will you share it?
Yeah, I will. I will because, you know, out of the best intentions to affirm people around me, apparently I've been squashing internal motivation and not intentionally, but, you know, you're so smart and thank you so much for that great job. It's like, it's a good intention, but it isn't necessarily effective and motivating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, the book Drive, again, if you don't want to read it, he has at the end this Twitter summary, or if you want to just be able to talk about a cocktail party summary or a summary of every chapter, or you can read the book, which has got a lot of great research about basically what we do in business and what science knows are opposed.
Effective. Mm-hmm. So what's his name again?
His name is Daniel Pink. and the book is Drive. You can actually go online, and there's a on his website, Daniel Pink, and there's a YouTube video of him doing a summary of the book.
All right, fabulous. Well, thank you so much.
Well, I would say good job, CJ, but it's been fun being with you.
Oh, well, thank you for all the effort that you put in to today's Best of Ourselves
segment. We'll get this.
It was fabulous, the effort you put in.